Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. So yesterday I was out shoveling my driveway after the radio show was over, and I needed something to listen to. So I'm a big podcast guy, but not like, you know, the true crime podcast. I just listen to like sports shows. They get podcasted. So I'm listening to Outkick 360. On the podcast, as I'm shoveling the driveway yesterday, and Jonathan Hutton is saying, all right, here are the keys to a Titans win against the Texans. And I was like, I don't have any keys. Just go win the game. If you win the game, I think you've got as good of a shot as anyone to go to the Super Bowl. If you don't win the game, I think no chance at the Super Bowl. I think it's that simple. And I don't have any keys. I don't care how it gets done. I don't care how you have to do it. You should do it. I shouldn't have to worry Sunday. But win, and you're the one seed. And I think the Titans are, again, I'm not going to say that they can't not go to the Super Bowl. Like, I think they could easily lose in the divisional round or the championship game. But I think they're going to the Super Bowl if they win on Sunday. They are absolutely not going to the Super Bowl if they lose. Chad Withrow joins us, Outkick 360, presented as always by Apple Collision Centers. And go online to applecollisioncenters.com. Chad, do you think if the Titans win on Sunday that they should be the favorites in the AFC over Kansas City?
I would still say Kansas City, it would be my favorite, but I completely agree with you. I've been saying it all week. This is the Titans' chance to go to the Super Bowl. They have no chance if they don't win on Sunday. If they don't get that bye and home field advantage, they have no chance at the Super Bowl. And I agree with you that that doesn't mean they're guaranteed the Super Bowl by winning on Sunday, but they guarantee themselves not in the Super Bowl if they don't win on Sunday. So I think this is the first of their playoff games. You may have heard this if you listen to our podcast, Jared, but I got into an argument with Hutton about this, that I have a hard time coming to grips with the contradicting statements of, you need to have a playoff mindset in this game. You need to treat this like a playoff game, but you also need to rest Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. I don't think it could be both. I mean, if Derrick Henry is healthy and medically cleared, he's my starter in this game, if you're treating it like a playoff game. Now, look, I think they're going to win this game without Derrick Henry, even if he doesn't play. I don't think they have to have Derrick Henry. But I also think that if you're truly going to treat it like a playoff game, if Derrick Henry's available, Derrick Henry is your running back.
What do you make of the fact that the betting markets don't like the Titans, the ESPN FPI doesn't like the Titans as far as those numbers are concerned? You know, I think the betting markets I saw today for the AFC, the Titans, I think, were fourth, you know, as far as the betting was concerned in the AFC. If they win Sunday, and I think most people, even people outside of Nashville, think they're going to win this game Sunday. If they win Sunday, they automatically should skyrocket in the betting markets because of the fact that there's just one less data point that they would have to achieve as opposed to everybody else.
Yeah, I don't know about the numbers. You know, I know everybody will say, well, the numbers don't lie. And the analytics and the algorithms that are put in and all of that, I can't speak in detail about why they don't like or don't favor the Titans. You know, they've won some close games, okay. Well, that's what you got to do in the playoffs, right? I don't know why we penalize the Titans. Well, the games they won were close. And then you look at the margin of victory, whatever. They won those close games. So that counts. I don't know about the numbers. I'll say in terms like the media and the fact that people, and I think it's a little bit overwrought that, you know, Titans fans get mad at national media for not talking enough about their team or showing their team love. I see it in this instance. And I think a lot of it, Jared, just has to do with the fact that people don't want to talk about the Titans. I think they're sort of mad they have to talk about the Titans when they do. It's not a team that gets people excited at the national level. If media members don't get excited about the Titans, and it's like they begrudgingly have to admit that, oh, this team is a win over the Houston Texans away from being the number one seed and having home field advantage, and they don't want to admit it. So I do think that the Titans are in kind of a weird place when it comes to all of that. And I'm with you that if they get that bye, I would think a lot of money would come down on the Titans to win the AFC at that point.
See, I would agree with you. I think that there is something to the fact that most people, I think it's twofold. I think people don't want to talk about the Titans on television, and I think that most people think Tannehill stinks. Like, most people outside of Nashville look at Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or even Belichick and the Patriots, and they're like, I'd rather take that team than Tannehill. And I fully understand that. I just think the way the Titans' defense is playing, which nobody talks about defense anymore, but the way their defensive line specifically is playing, as long as Bud Dupree can stay out of Walgreens, like, I think that that's good enough for you to compete at, like, a really high level. I go back to Tampa Bay last year with their defensive line, and so I don't care about who's talking about the Titans and who's not talking about the Titans. I think that as long as Tannehill doesn't turn the ball over, they've got a roster that's capable of competing to win the AFC. I don't think they can beat Green Bay in the Super Bowl, but I'll worry about Green Bay when you get there. But I think they've got a good enough team, do you?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely think they're good enough to get to the Super Bowl. And I'm with you. I think Green Bay would win that game if those are the two teams there. But, I mean, that's why I put so much importance on Sunday's game, because I think the chances are really good if they win on Sunday that they win a couple games at home and they get this franchise to its second Super Bowl, which would be an enormous accomplishment getting to that game. So I definitely think that's the case with this team, and they're good enough to do it. And how crazy is it that we're talking about defense going into this year? We were all just saying, if it can just be adequate, if it can just be middle of the pack, this defense, this team could win the Super Bowl, because offensively you thought, okay, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, no one's going to stop them. So if the defense is just not historically bad on third down, then they're going to be okay. And the defense is carrying this team at times. I think it's an incredible job by Shane Bowen. I think it's an incredible job. Someone we don't talk a lot about, Jim Schwartz. I don't know what Jim Schwartz's involvement is, but he's there, and him coming on board has definitely helped this defense. So I think a lot of credit goes to that side of the ball. And I'm still kind of, you know, just in awe that we're sitting here talking about a Titans defense that's elite, where coming into the season, we just hope they would be okay.
Chad Withrow, Outkick 360 is our guest. What are your expectations for Derrick Henry when and if he does play either Sunday or the divisional round of the playoffs?
I mean, my expectation is that he's Derrick Henry until he gets hurt, if that happens. If he's cleared and he's able to play, he's a guy that needs carries. So this whole, you know, knock the rust off debate, I don't buy into that. I don't like half measures with this. I think you either play him on Sunday if he's ready to go and play him the whole game. I don't give him 5 or 7 carries. Because if you don't play him, you're resting for the extra week, but obviously hoping you get the win on Sunday, then you get the bye, and then he comes back and he's even a little bit healthier. But my expectation is that he plays like Derrick Henry and that we don't see a big drop-off when he comes back. But that's obviously what the Titans would hope.
So I think, like, a lot of people have opinions on this, and the hardest part is that, like, the most important critical part of information that I feel like I need to know is, have the doctors said Derek can go Sunday, and has Derek said Derek can go Sunday? Because if the doctors and Derek both say, hey, he's good for Sunday, then to me, he plays, and he plays like Derek. Now, I may spell him out of a series early on and put Foreman in for like the third series or something like that. But I'm with you. I don't pitch count him. I don't anything him. I'm like, can you play? All right, you play. And for some reason, I'm with you. I hear a lot of people that are like, you know, well, what if you gave him 10 carries and gave Foreman 10 carries? And then I'm like, then you're just ruining both guys. And yeah. I don't understand the idea. You brought up the great point that I'm looking at this game and saying to myself, and I know the Texans suck, but Vrabel can't go into this game and say, well, we can rest Derek in this game and get by against Houston. Because if you don't win this game, you're not going to the Super Bowl. I'm with you. Do you think the doctors and Derek have cleared it that he can play and the Titans are just going to hold him back?
I don't. I don't think that's in Mike Vrabel's DNA, quite frankly. I mean, I think if he is standing in front of that room and saying, all right, playoffs start this week. This is our first playoff game. We win and we get next week off. If he's going to have that mindset with his team, which I think that he will, the only way that you could say that with a straight face is if you're also telling your team, Derek's not ready. You know, he's not medically cleared. Doctor says he can't go. Hopefully he'll be ready for the playoffs, but here's who we have, and now we got to go get the job done. If you're standing up there saying that and Derek Henry is medically cleared and everyone knows it and you just decided to rest him for the playoffs, then you're not taking a playoff mentality into that game. You're just not. I mean, I understand you're trying to pump your players up to think that way, but that's not the case if you're resting Derrick Henry. And again, I'm just not for half measures with this. If he's able to go, he's ready to go, he wants to play, play him. If he's not, or if there's any uncertainty one way or the other, then rest him and see if he can go in a couple weeks in the playoffs, hoping you get that win on Sunday.
Are you holding out hope that Julio Jones is more? I will say that I think Julio Jones at this point is Tajay Sharp. That's the what you can expect out of him. That's what he kind of is. Possession receiver, not very good, average. Are you holding out hope like the rest of our station is that Julio can make a difference?
It's funny because Paul Kuharsky asked a question today to Julio Jones, and he was in studio with us on the Zoom chat, and I heard the question. I'm thinking, well, damn, that was a pretty strong question to ask a guy to, you know, confront him with that. And the question was something like, do you think that it's okay for what the Titans gave up and what they're paying you to have 9 catches over 8 games? Is that what the Titans were bargaining for when they brought you in? Do you think that's okay? And I know Julio Jones gave a long answer to it. And I think that's the one time where it's completely acceptable just to say, no, that's not what they bargained for. Not what I bargained for. I was hoping to be healthier. Hasn't been the case, and I can only do better moving forward. But to your question, Jared, yeah, he is the top candidate. If I had to circle someone and say, okay, this person is going to elevate their play and do something big in a playoff game that propels the Titans, make a big play, have a big moment, have a big production game, whatever. I'm not looking at, you know, Nick Westbrook Akina. I'm not looking at some other players in the roster and saying, okay, they've got a lot more to give. They can elevate. I think we're getting everything we can out of players like that. It's Julio Jones. I mean, it's Julio Jones. If he can stay on the field and stay healthy, that could give this team some sort of wow moment in the playoffs. And I think that's the hope, that, you know, you get something back for Julio Jones bringing him in this season, because they've really gotten nothing so far.
Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, presented by Apple Collision Centers. Coming up next, Paul has a tweet that I have a thought on that I want to get Chad's thought on as well, that we'll get to next. And then also on top of it, the possible matchups in the playoffs. What does Chad think is best for the Titans? We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. So I was on Twitter during the break. Chad Withrow with us, Outkick 360, presented by Apple Collision Centers. And I saw Paul Kuharsky quote tweeted Warren Sharp talking about how Mike Vrabel should be coach of the year, and said Vrabel coach of the year case being made by someone outside of Nashville. Now, Chad, the tone that I heard Paul's voice in this tweet is like him saying, finally, somebody outside of Nashville said something about Vrabel for all you homers that keep talking about Vrabel for coach of the year. And maybe I'm wrong for reading it in that tone, but that's just the tone I hear in my head. And I ask you this because Terry Bradshaw said it, and Mike Tannenbaum said it, and Damian Woody said it, and a lot of people are saying Vrabel should be coach of the year. I throw a giant asterisk behind it by they better freaking win this game Sunday, because if they don't, I don't want to hear about it. But do you think Vrabel objectively should be the NFL's coach of the year?
Yes, I think objectively he is the NFL coach of the year. I think Zach Taylor's going to get a lot of play. I think he's the chief competition for Mike Vrabel with this award. But I think Mike Vrabel's the coach of the year. I mean, you look at the, you know, 88 guys that rolled through the roster, in not having Derrick Henry for half the season, missing A.J. Brown for weeks, not getting anything from Julio Jones, and still finding a way to be the number one seed. If and I'm with you on Sunday, Jared, if they need to win this. But if they win on Sunday and get the number one seed, I think Mike Vrabel is the NFL coach of the year. I don't buy the LaFleur stuff. I get that they're the best team, and there's always going to be consideration for the head coach of the best team. But, I mean, I think of that team, that's Aaron Rodgers' offense, not Matt LaFleur's. And maybe that's unfair to Matt LaFleur, but that's the way I'm usually going to view a quarterback that's that good and that in control. You know, we didn't talk a lot about Peyton Manning's offensive coordinators because Peyton Manning was the offensive coordinator. And I feel the same way about Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. So, yeah, I think Mike Vrabel is the coach of the year, and I hope that the voting shows that. Hopefully there's, you know, hopefully Hub Arkish doesn't have something against him and he has a vote where he'll vote, you know, because personally he has a problem with Vrabel. As long as that doesn't happen with a bunch of guys and girls that are voting, then I think Mike Vrabel's the coach of the year.
So on top of that, Mike Tannenbaum said, and so did Dan Orlovsky, that John Robinson should be executive of the year. I love John Robinson, and I think he's a much better general manager than, like, the previous general managers were. But I can't give him executive of the year after the Julio Jones trade in the draft. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I have a harder time with that. And again, that's, to me, the John Robinson argument of him being the executive of the year is kind of like the Matt LaFleur argument of coach of the year. You know, you're giving it to the executive of the team that overcame the most. But some of that overcoming was because of the moves that were made. You know, Julio Jones, we all wanted it to happen. Everybody wanted to bring in Julio Jones. There were warnings from people that covered Julio Jones in Atlanta that maybe he's not as into things anymore. He's not into practice. He's not healthy. And, you know, we kind of disregarded it because we wanted to see Julio Jones in a Titans jersey. So I don't blame, you know, Mike or John Robinson for making that move, but it doesn't matter what we thought at the time. It hasn't worked out. Dylan Raiden's certainly hasn't worked out as a second-round pick. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think John Robinson's done a great job since he's been here, but I would have a much more difficult time saying he's the exec of the year as opposed to me saying Mike Vrabel is coach of the year, because I believe he is coach of the year.
So I've been playing around. Chad Withrow is our guest. I've been playing around with the ESPN playoff machine, and I'm going to make these assumptions. You tell me if I can, or if you have a problem with any of these. Kansas City beats Denver. Buffalo beats the Jets. The Titans beat the Texans. The Colts beat the Jags. Any problem with any of those?
No problem with any of that.
Okay, Cincinnati plays Cleveland, but Joe Burrow doesn't play, and Baker Mayfield doesn't play, so I think that hurts Cincinnati and that helps Cleveland. So I'm kind of inclined to say that Cleveland's going to win, but I don't know. And the reason I bring this up is because if everything else goes chalk and say the Patriots beat the Dolphins and the Browns beat the Bengals, then New England would be going to Cincinnati in a 4-5 matchup. We've been arguing about this all week about which matchups would be better for the Titans. I know Joe Burrow just lit it up on TV, but the Bengals don't scare me as much as maybe they scare other people. Whereas, like, Buffalo would scare me in a divisional round game here. New England would scare me in a divisional round game here. And I also think that Raiders game has a lot at stake for how that could affect the AFC playoffs as well. If the Raiders win, then Indianapolis would be the 7th seed and go to Kansas City. What do you make of all the action this weekend and how that could shake out in the AFC as far as the Titans are concerned?
For that 4-5 matchup, I really don't love either matchup for the Titans, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. There are other teams. For instance, the Colts don't worry me from a Titans perspective. You know, I think the Titans are just a better version of what, if they have Derrick Henry, they're just a better version of what the Colts are trying to do. Mm-hmm. So that matchup doesn't bother me. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and some of the dudes on that Cincinnati offense, Joe Mixon, that would concern me a little bit. And then I think just the Belichick factor defensively. You know, Mac Jones doesn't worry me as a quarterback. Nope. in a playoff game, but what Bill Belichick can do from a game plan standpoint defensively to frustrate Ryan Tannehill, the Titans' offense, and make it an ugly game. Yeah, I don't love either one of those matchups. If I had to pick a winner that I'd like to see play the Titans, it's probably Cincinnati, but it's close if you're looking at Cincinnati and New England.
Okay, Cincinnati versus Cleveland this weekend. Without Joe Burrow, who do you think is going to win?
And who is Cleveland starting? Because Baker Mayfield's not playing. Okay, Case Keenum. I think Cleveland wins.
Okay.
I think Cleveland probably wins.
Patriots at Dolphins?
Patriots.
Okay, and then Chargers at Raiders.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to watching that one. I'll say Raiders.
Okay.
I think the non-storybook season will continue for another week for the Raiders.
Here's what's wild. Under that scenario, if that happens, Indy is the 7th seed and goes to Kansas City. Now, everybody likes Indianapolis more than I do. I think Indianapolis is kind of overrated, and a dome team going to Kansas City, I think they would lose. But I do think that that's a matchup that I'd like to see, because I think they're more likely to beat the Chiefs than the Chargers or the Steelers would be. The Raiders would go to Buffalo. The Patriots would go to Cincinnati. How do you feel about those matchups?
I really like you, I really like a Colts-Chiefs matchup in the first round, in the 7-2. I think Raiders-Bills is an underrated one also. That would be great. Just the different styles. We talked about Cincinnati and New England, but the different styles in that game would be intriguing going into that one. Look, I mean, we're here now to the playoffs. I have looked at all these calculators that you have and looked at all the different scenarios. I'm hard-pressed to find a bad playoff matchup other than, like, New Orleans sneaking in or Pittsburgh sneaking into the playoffs. Then you get some bad matchups. But with the teams that are in the field right now, you're hard-pressed to find a bad matchup in the playoffs.
Here's what's crazy, though, about this. If that plays out, you've got Indy, Vegas, and New England as the three road teams. I think at least one of those road teams is going to win. And all it takes is one road team, and then you avoid the three elite quarterbacks in the conference for that first game in Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow. If everything goes chalk, you're going to have to play Allen or Burrow in the divisional round at Nissan Stadium. Not that they can't beat them, because I think they can, but I think it'd be great to avoid the elite quarterbacks, bring in Mac Jones, bring in Derek Carr, and that's where I got to think one of those teams is going to lose. Is it important that the Titans avoid an elite quarterback in that divisional round matchup?
So think about it this way. If we're saying the playoffs start on Sunday for the Titans, and this is a must-win game if they're going to go to the Super Bowl,
sure.
And let's say New England beats Cincinnati in that 4-5 scenario that we brought up, the Titans are a win over Davis Mills and Mac Jones from going to the AFC Championship game. Like, that's a pretty good scenario, right? In terms of, now, once you get there, you're probably going to see Mahomes or, you know, Josh Allen, an elite quarterback to have to get to the Super Bowl. But, I mean, you are a win over Davis Mills and Mac Jones away from hosting an AFC Championship game for the first time ever in Nashville, Tennessee. That's not bad.
And it's wild for me because I think about the Chiefs a couple years ago who on the last week of the season won, New England lost. And so their road to the Super Bowl went from Derrick Henry and then Tom Brady on the road and then Lamar Jackson on the road to Deshaun Watson at home after a bye and then the Titans because they took out New England and Baltimore. And that's exactly what could happen in the Titans' favor. There is a chance that Kansas City, again, I'm not a big believer in Indy like everybody else, but there's a chance that Jonathan Taylor runs all over the Chiefs, and now you don't have to play Mahomes. And the road to the Super Bowl gets so much easier, and that's why I think the one seed just comes with so much value in the new kind of, the new playoff seating where there's only one bye that the Titans could have.
Yeah, and look, we were there in Arrowhead. I know you were there too,
yep.
Jared. Titans aren't going to Arrowhead and winning in the playoffs. I made my mind up that day. That's not going to happen. So if they are going to do this and go to the Super Bowl, it is imperative they win on Sunday because that's their route. And to have this city, to have Nashville host an AFC Championship game would be incredible. I mean, that's one that I've always circled. So when you watch that game on Championship Sunday, I'm thinking, can you imagine Nashville getting to host one of these and be one of the last four teams playing and host an AFC Championship game? That is a very real possibility, dare I say even probability, if the Titans win on Sunday. That's how important this game is.
Chad Withrow, as always, presented by Apple Collision Center's Outkick 360. Chad, appreciate it. Enjoy the games this weekend. Enjoy the title game on Monday.
All right, have a great weekend.
Yep, Chad Withrow joining us on the program. He thinks Titans are going to win. I think Titans are going to win. Now, ultimately, we'll pick it in six-pack picks. But coming up next, how big is Sunday's game? We know it's for the one seed, but I think there's something bigger there, and I don't think I'm being a homer. And the one thing that worries me about Sunday's game that we're all taking for granted, we'll get to that next, Stillman & Company, right here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
AJ, with all that's at stake this week, what's kind of been the focus and the focal point of practice? Because you guys can nail down that number one seed if you go out there and take care of business on Sunday.
It hasn't been too much talk about the number one seed around here. At least I haven't heard. But it's just about taking care of business, winning this game. You know, they just haven't been talking about the number one seed, worrying about next week, worrying about getting that bye next week. It's about handling business this week. That's all we've been talking about, handling business, taking care of this game, and then we let the chip fall where they may. We're going to let the playoffs be the playoffs, but right now We got one more season. I mean, one more game to handle business.
There you go. That's A.J. Brown. And I don't know what they're talking about inside the locker room. I know what we're talking about outside the locker room, and it is all number one seed. Have we talked about this game on Sunday at all, like the actual game itself?
I don't think so. And I don't really know if we need to.
I don't know if there's any desire for that. And I will say this, the reason we're talking about number one seed is because all we've been talking about this year is the Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And because Cincinnati beat Kansas City, you got a shot at the bye. We went over the possible quarterbacks that could be coming in here, the quarterbacks that you could miss, your road to the Super Bowl, what that could be. And I like it. Two games at Nissan Stadium. And I think, now again, I am not predicting it. I'm not telling you. I'm not, you know, I'm not doing that. Not guaranteeing anything. But I think the Titans are going to go to the Super Bowl if they get the number one seed. And I wonder, am I being a homer? Corey Curtis, News 2, on our show earlier today, says he thinks the one seed's that valuable.
That was my hot take. I think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl. I do. I mean, I've never said that before. I've been in this town since 2003, and I've never said, I think the Titans are going to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to the Super Bowl. You know, we've kind of argued about where we feel about this team. I like their makeup. I like their toughness. And I really like their defense. I like that front four can stonewall anybody in the league right now. Christian Fulton's been a game changer for them on the secondary. So yeah, it's absolutely a huge game from that regard, because you certainly would much rather play Kansas City here than there. But you know, and if they lose this game, it's really disappointing, because there's no reason to lose this game other than you weren't prepared. I mean, I'm still, you know, you go back to the last one, they had 5 turnovers and 3 turnovers on downs. They had the equivalent of 8 turnovers in that football game. They just were not mentally sharp for that game. And you have to be. And that goes to Mike Vrabel's whole thing of playing to your standard, which I think we saw, you know, we've seen real good evidence of the last few weeks. You know, the way they finished the Miami game, I thought was great. That's playing to that standard. And that's more along the lines of where I'm going with my belief that they're going to go to Los Angeles in February.
He thinks they win this game, they're going to the Super Bowl. He thinks they are going to the Super Bowl. And he said he's been here since 2003 and has never said that. Going back all the way to the beginning of the Titans, 1999. In 1999, I think I thought the Titans were going to go to the Super Bowl. In 2000, I definitely thought the Titans were going to the Super Bowl. They didn't when they lost to Baltimore at home. Other than that, while I was hopeful in 2002 when they were the 2 seed, or in 2003 when Steve McNair was league MVP, I've never thought, you know what, the Titans, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I didn't when they had the number one seed in 2008. I didn't think it in 2017. I didn't think it in 2019 when they got the AFC title game. And I certainly didn't think it last year when they lost to the Packers around Christmas. And I came in here and said, nope, they're pretenders, not contenders. I'm telling you, if they win Sunday, I think it is more likely than not. I would give them a 51% chance of making it to the Super Bowl if they win on Sunday. It should be noted, though, as much as we all feel like they're going to win on Sunday, the Titans against the Texans in their last handful of matchups, the Titans played the Texans in November of this year, and the Titans lost to that horrible Texan team 22-13. The Titans played a horrible Texan team on January 3rd of 2021. That Texan team was god-awful. They were ready to go to Cancun. Season finale, it meant nothing to them. It meant everything to the Titans, who had the division on the line. Titans won 41-38, right down to the wire. Tannehill to A.J. Brown, Sam Sloman field goal. Titans win the division. In October, right after Bill O'Brien had been canned, the Texans were a mess, not a very good team. Again, they still had Deshaun Watson, but not a very good team. The Titans won in overtime 42-36. So in the last 3 matchups, the Texans have not been very good, And every game has either gone right down to the wire or the Titans have lost. In college football, we hear this all the time. Big rivalry game, throw the record books out. Do we worry about the fact that the Texans seem to always play the Titans tough?
I mean, I think it's a legitimate concern because you could look back at the history between the Texans and the Titans and you could say, oh, well, that was a different Texans team. That was a Texans team with J.J. Watt, Deshaun Hopkins, and DeAndre Hopkins. But the Titans have lost to much worse Texans teams and much more recently. So I do think that, you know, with the recency bias and even just looking at November and thinking that this is going to be a tougher feat for the Titans than it really should be, I think that's a legitimate concern. But the Titans have to win this game. The Titans are a better team. The Titans have everything on the line, and the Texans have nothing on the line. You said it happened last year, the exact same thing. The Titans had everything to lose. The Texans have nothing to lose. And it does make you worry that the Texans have been playing much better, much more physical football recently. Look at the Chargers game. But the Titans have everything to lose, and the Titans have to play that way.
I'll tell you, my opinion on Vrabel, like, is, I mean, all the chips are on this game. You win this game, you get the number one seed, you beat Cincinnati, you lose to Kansas City. Fine. You know, I can live with that. My goal is to compete for the championship, and that is competing for the championship. Even if you don't win the championship, that is competing for it.
And we always talk about the road to the Super Bowl. What's
road
the most
opportune
road to the Super Bowl?
Well, everybody and their grandma thinks to themselves that Indianapolis, except for me, everybody thinks Indianapolis is legit. I think Indianapolis is a fraud team. And I think they're going to go on the road to Kansas City if that's what ends up happening. If they go on the road to Kansas City in that kind of in bad weather, they're not going to play very well. But if everybody else is right and I'm wrong, and they go out there and beat the Chiefs, now you're talking about an AFC Championship game where you may not even have to play Patrick Mahomes. And look, you took out Lamar Jackson, so Kansas City didn't have to do that a couple years ago. So the road is important. Will the Titans win? We will make our picks next for six-pack picks presented by Pella Windows and Doors, and we will do that next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, my guys. Hiller takes great care of my home, and I promise that they can do the exact same for you. Hiller, they're proud supporters of the Nashville Predators, the Tennessee Volunteers, and the Vanderbilt Commodores. And you see that Hiller logo right there on the ice at Bridgestone Arena. To help customers tackle necessary replacements, Hiller is extending their lower 2021 pricing through the end of January. And this is the lowest pricing expected all year. You've noticed all the inventory shortages and empty shelves, and now there are serious shortages on equipment and products for your home. HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, and generators are going to be extremely limited in 2022. And because of supply issues and rising costs, parts manufacturers are rapidly increasing the price of their equipment. If you need a replacement, call my friends at Hiller today. Don't wait until you're out of options. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy You'll Be or Service is Free guarantee, and you can learn more at happyhiller.com. Hiller, call the Happy Face truck today. I thought about adding the national championship game into six-pack picks, but we will pick that Monday live from 312 Pizza Company before Georgia takes on Alabama. So it is time for six-pack picks presented by Pella Windows and Doors. Ian, how are we doing so far on the season?
Well, on the season, not too bad. Jared, pretty rough week, actually, last week. From what I could tell,
love to hear it.
1-5. Oof. Only got the Titans game correct. Caroline went 3-3 last week. So let's
not
see.
Not great, but better than Jared. That's all that matters.
So Jared is now at 55-47-1 on the season, and Caroline is at 42-60-1 on the season.
Good luck.
That
13
gap's
games
getting
behind.
Pretty small.
13 games. All right, Ian, let's get right to it.
Okay, we will start on the Saturday night game here. Saturday night, 7:15 on ESPN ABC. Eagles need to win to make the playoffs. Cowboys at the Eagles, over under 43.5. Dallas minus 4.5.
Who goes first?
You pick. You had the better record.
You go ahead and go first.
I'll take Philadelphia. I think Dallas, you know, they don't have anything to play for. They're going to be that 4 seed. By the way, I hate Week 18. I thought I was going to like it. I hate it. All these games suck this week. I'm going to take Philadelphia to win this game. I think Philadelphia is playing pretty well right now. Jalen is playing okay. Micah Parsons may be out for Dallas. So with nothing to play for, I'll take the Eagles.
I'm going to take Dallas. I do believe that Dallas could be playing for seeding here. I could be wrong, but I believe that they are. So I do think that the Cowboys are playing with something for something here. And I'm not taking the cheese on the Eagles. I don't believe in Jalen Hurts. I think that he's fine, but I think that this Cowboys team has too much talent. They've just been playing below their talent recently. And I think that going into the playoffs, they know that they want to be hot in this really, really good NFC playoff picture. So I'll take the Cowboys.
Okay, heading over to Sunday, noon, CBS. Steelers at the Ravens, over under on this game, 40.5. Baltimore minus 3.5.
I'm going to take the Steelers to cover here. Ben Roethlisberger's last game. I know it's on the road, but the Ravens have so many injuries, and this is the reason why I've been picking against the Ravens so much the past few weeks, is that the Ravens just have no one to play. And their offensive line has not been able to protect the quarterback very well. And the Steelers do still have a very, very intimidating and threatening pass rush. And I think TJ Watt is playing for a Steelers record, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm going to take the Steelers to at least cover, if not win outright.
I'll take the Ravens. I think the Steelers, you know, I think that their homecoming was last week. I mean, like, I think that that's the end. After Monday's game, Kendrick Green going to be out. Deontay Johnson, I think, is out for the Steelers. I think that was Ben's swan song. I think mailing it in Sunday. Give me the Ravens.
Okay, continuing on CBS to the afternoon, 3:25. Patriots at the Dolphins, over under a 40. New England minus 6.
That's tough because New England usually doesn't play very well in Miami. I think Miami was embarrassed with how they played. I think it'll be closer than that. I'll take the Dolphins. Give me the plus 6. I'll take the Dolphins in this one. New England never plays well there with Brady in December, and now Brady's not there, but I don't think it's Brady that doesn't play well, and I think Miami will have a better effort after what happened to them here Sunday.
I'm going to take the Patriots here. The Patriots are a better team. They're a better coach team, and if anybody knows what you need, the formula to be hot in the playoffs, it's Bill Belichick. And winning that last game before the playoffs is so incredibly key in order to get to the playoffs on a hot streak. So I'm going to take the Patriots to cover here.
Okay, 3:25, Fox afternoon game, 49ers at the Rams, 3:25, over under 44.5. Rams minus 4.5.
Ooh, I'm going to take the Rams. I mean, the NFC, like I said, this is going to be a really tricky, sticky playoff situation for the top half of the NFC in the playoffs. I think the Rams are the better team. I think that they have a better quarterback. I think they've been playing better this entire season. I'll take the Rams to cover.
So here's what's crazy. I am stunned that they put that boring Kansas City game on ESPN and not this game. This is a big game. The 49ers, yeah. If they lose, they're out. Like, if they lose, they are done because New Orleans is going to beat Atlanta and the Saints will be in the playoffs over the 49ers. If the Rams lose and the Cardinals win against the Seahawks, the Rams are the wild card. Arizona wins the division. So there's a lot on the line here. I'm going to take San Francisco. I think San Francisco needs to make the playoffs. I think that they have owned the Rams. McVay struggles against Shanahan. I think Jimmy ends up playing. I don't think he's actually hurt. I'll take San Francisco. Winning, you're in.
Should be a fun game. 7:20 NBC Sunday Night Football. Chargers at the Raiders. Over under 50. Chargers minus 3.
I'll take the Chargers. The Raiders are hot and they're playing at home. And so everything would line up and say Raiders. For some reason, I'll take the Chargers.
And that's the exact reason I'm taking the Raiders. They're hot. They're playing at home. Win and you're in. And I think Derek Carr has the ability to have control over a game more so than Justin Herbert. Just more experience in the league. Give me the Raiders.
Okay, that brings us to our last game. Titans at Texans for the one seed. Noon, CBS. Over under 42.5. Pretty low. Titans minus 10.
That's a really huge spread, but I'm going to take the Titans minus 10. And if they can't cover that, then that's pretty terrifying. But the Titans know what's at stake. The road to the playoffs is so incredibly important, and beating the Texans gives you the best road to the playoffs. So I think the Titans are going to want to come out strong, and I think they get it done by at least 2 touchdowns.
So here are my only thoughts of the week on this game. If they lose, everybody tune in at 2 o'clock on Monday, because it's going to be a show. I mean, it's going to be a show if they lose this game. If Mike Vrabel's coach of the year, they'll win this game. If A.J. Brown's as good as you all tell me, they'll win this game. If this defense is Super Bowl caliber, they will win this game. And if you can do anything with Ryan Tannehill, you will win this game. This is a prove-it game. Titans will blow them out. I think it'll be kind of comfortable, but not, you know, it won't be 41-0. But this will be like Dallas in 2000. The Titans had to beat the Cowboys in the last game of the year on Monday Night Football to get the number one seed. They did. It was Christmas Day, and the Titans, Anthony Wright played quarterback for the Cowboys, which may be as good as this Davis Mills. The Titans won that game 31-0. I think the Titans are going to blow them out. I'll go 28-6. I think Titans blow out the Texans. That's it for us. Pregame show at 9:30 Sunday. Moneyline. Chase and Elijah, it's next.